Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Kelly O'Connell here. And Kelly O'Connell here, and it is today 11/19/2020, and dealing with more of the same issue. America waiting to see Trump's voter fraud evidence as clock ticks. Good morning. Thanks for tuning in, and it might be on another day that you are hearing this, but or later in the day. But what's going on now is some really incredible stuff, and that has to do with this vote. And the vote has to do with the has to do with what is going on in the elections. And so we had a situation yesterday in the debate over whether Trump has won or not. And even Bill O'Reilly is acting like there's really nothing going on. But the upshot is that there is a lot of evidence for voter fraud, which I had discussed previously. But in a nutshell, the blackout in the media is keeping people from understanding that there's some major issues out there, and the major issues being that. Including and related to the fact that these voter machines were originally made in Venezuela. If you haven't heard this, I think my microphone was off, so we lost about 2.5 minutes. I do apologize. What we're dealing with here right now, though, is the attempt by Trump to get this election delegitimized. And in doing so, we are going to show that the equipment that was used in all of these voting districts, all these states it was falsified information. And so what happened is that the vote machines were originally put out by Hugo Chavez, hired a company, built machines. The company had part Venezuela and part British ownership at that time. And Lord Mark Malik Brown is still the owner of that, and is still in the company brochures. Best friend of this psychopath, sociopath, George Soros. Now, what happened is that, as everybody saw, Donald Trump was leading in the elections, and then when all of the voting headquarters were shut down, when they opened up the next day, what you had there was every state falling to Biden. Now, one of the main things is the lack of support nationally in the street, showing up to rallies and stuff for Biden. A second part, though, is that the way that the vote changed was really, everybody saw it. Everybody, even people on the left said, I couldn't believe this happened. So the answer to it is that these machines were built with, the intent of defrauding elections. So they defrauded elections in Venezuela. And when they defrauded the election, then in doing that, they made the machine so that you could look into the machine and see who had what votes. There was a backdoor, and these machines are very hackable. And the reason they're hackable is they're really not meant to be voter machines. They're meant to be vote fraud machines. Now, people are going to look at this and say, I don't believe it. Anybody on the left is going to say this. But many, many people on the right believe this. And the fact of the matter is that Sidney Powell, one of the top lawyers in America, has stated it repeatedly. I've got a clip here. And so I'm going to play it for you. Just a short little clip here. If you can wait, but so what's going on is time, the clock is ticking, and as the clock goes by, the sense is going on and on and on that there is something that's really bizarre that has happened. And, you know, it's one of the truly strange things to see is this kind of third world thing going on. And, you know, it's on the one hand, it's sad because of the number of people involved in, you know, 70, 80 million people who had put in for Trump, you know, 70, 80 million. There is the sense that Trump won in a landslide and is now not able to take benefit of all the hard work that he did and the leadership that he made and everything. And on another level, what you've got is just this really profound and disturbing attack against him that's based in misinformation from the very beginning. And so the upshot was that that there has been this grave attack against America, and in doing so in this time of Sturm und Drang, Sturm und Drang, as they say in Germany, you've got this terrible there's a palpable sense of a stolen election that more than 50% of the people believe that the election was stolen. And then you've got this kind of crazy administration coming in with Joe Biden, who's supposedly already is obviously not running anything because he's not capable of running anything, because he's not capable of thinking, because he has a mental breakdown. He's had, or, you know, he had dementia. He's in the midst of dementia. And so the sad aspect of this is that it's you know, coming up to this time where in a few days what Trump is going to have to do is to he's going to have to come up with an ability to show what happened. And what happened was that these vote machines were all being they're all being misused because the purpose of them, as I stated previously, is not to count votes, it's to miscount votes, or to count votes long enough to be able to launch a counter assault to counterbalance. What you ultimately have here, if you can imagine this, the machines are being used and they're taking in information. You can get into the machine and read the votes, and you see how many votes are needed. The machine's turned off, and then it's adjusted with an algorithm so that when it opens up again, suddenly there's a lot more votes coming in for Joe Biden, and you don't have the ability to go back and look at all these votes because a lot of the information is missing. And anyway, I'm going to put a little Rudy clip here to give you a little bit more news. You're listening to Kelly O'Connell, Kelly O'Connell Show Knockout Radio on 11-19-2020.
Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, welcome back to Newsmax, the president's personal attorney, and he's heading
and
up the legal efforts in this challenge.
I can't
Mayor Giuliani, welcome back. How are you?
Greg, how are you?
Of this
I'm
clip.
Terrific. I am rooting for you.
So I just turned it off there, but I've been having a little technical difficulty. Let me see if I can get it going again.
Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, welcome back to Newsmax, the president's
okay,
personal
I've got the clip
attorney,
going right now,
and he's
so
heading up the legal efforts in this
check
challenge.
Check this out. This
Mayor
is brand
Giuliani,
new.
Mayor Giuliani, welcome
this
back. How are you?
Greg, how are you?
I'm terrific. I am rooting for you guys, as you know. How's it going overall? Give us the picture.
It keeps moving ahead. I think we're doing well. I mean, we've got some major victories in the last couple of days. We have in Nevada, we had the Nevada Election Commission, which is 5-0 Democrat, turned around an election involving a Republican and a Democrat in favor of the Republican for irregularities in Clark County. Those are the same irregularities that we are asserting in our lawsuit. In fact, he got the irregularities from us. And therefore, it would seem to me that we're going to probably get a similar decision there. There's a little confusion in Michigan. In Michigan, Wayne County Election Commission refused to certify the vote. Then two Republican commissioners appeared to have agreed to certify it on the condition that there be an audit of the ballot. But they're in the process of not certifying it and making it clear that they were basically harassed and do not believe that there are anywhere near sufficient votes to certify. And that would be a very major victory because the votes at stake there would change the results in Michigan. And hopefully that'll be completed tonight. We've got our lawsuit going in Wisconsin the other day. That puts at stake about 60,000 illegal votes, absentee ballots. That's where they did their cheating. I mean, they did their cheating in Pennsylvania. It's kind of like a template for the rest of the country. They excluded somewhere around 50 Republican poll watchers. So 682,770 ballots, absentee ballots, were submitted in secret. In other words, we never got to inspect them. Those are mostly in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Those ballots are blatantly illegal and should be struck. And then when you go to Nevada, there's a lawsuit in Nevada which basically involves being unable to identify the signatures on about 140,000 absentee ballots. And in Georgia, very similar, large number of absentee ballots that were not examined, not seen, never inspected by the other side, as well as changes in the date that the absentee ballot was submitted. Justice Alito made it quite clear that if you got a ballot after November 3rd, It had to be segregated because they're not sure they're legal after November 3rd. The court hasn't quite decided that. But we have many instances, Georgia being one, Michigan another, where when they came in on the 4th and the 5th, this is even after the election, they backdated it to the 3rd.
So, Mayor, a lot of your supporters, I'm one of them, but some of them are getting nervous, as you know, and they're wondering, hey, are we losing momentum here? And I think they're going to start certifying some of these elections pretty soon. Is there momentum here? I hear about a lawsuit here and a lawsuit there. And do you have some evidence that you're not putting out there publicly because, well, it would be tactically advantageous and strategically advantageous for you to hold it back?
Well, I would say, oh, yes, there's some of that. But there's enough evidence out there to show that the vote in Pennsylvania was, and this has been out there for some time. I mean, part of the problem is not that there's a lack of activity. Gosh, we've got 5 lawsuits going on. We win 3 of those, and the election turns. Aside from your network, OAN, to some extent Fox, nobody reports what we do. So the public does have a sense that we're not doing anything, but we're filing a lawsuit a day. And the numbers have now gotten to the point where I can say that if we win 3 of the 5, and there'll eventually be 7, then the numbers change immediately. He goes over 270, and Biden goes below 270. So if you were to win Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, that would be the end of the election. They fail. Well, Michigan has already indicated they're not going to certify. Wisconsin has a very strict procedure of their own, but we're quite confident that we'll be able to knock out about 60,000 ballots there as illegal. And Wisconsin's only a 10,000 margin. And and Pennsylvania, we argued it yesterday. And remember, we're going to probably lose a few of these, and we'll have taken the Supreme Court. We lost a case in the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
That we
can take to the Supreme Court now. We think it's a very, very good case to take. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court, it was a 5-2 decision, like the Florida Supreme Court was in Bush v. Gore. Of course, it was 5 Democrats and 2 Republicans in both cases.
Mayor, real quick, I do think their strategy, you're right, media blackout, pretend it's not happening, call Joe Biden president-elect and say there's no evidence of voter fraud.
But I mean, you know,
that's their strategy. That's part of it.
It's a censorship.
Yes, and here's a question, though, and I'm concerned that some judges will seize on this. They'll think, well, if we turn this election, you know, if we put it up, if it's inconclusive, there will be violence. You'll remember there was no violence when it was perceived that Joe Biden won. How do you fight the perception that there might be violence if Donald Trump gets the upper hand?
We have to hope and pray that judges have the intellectual honesty and the faithfulness to the Constitution to decide a very important case like this, honestly, without fear. I mean, they always say you have to decide without fear or favor. I mean, we can't decide elections based on we're afraid of riots.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't know what we've become.
No.
We've become a cowardly, sniveling little country, and we're not that. I mean, if there are riots, they'll be put down and they'll be stopped. I mean, all they have to do is hire me for a day or your father, and we can end the riots in 2 days. You could go one place, I could go the other. You just take over as mayor, the riot will be over in a day.
That's
and we
true.
Won't hurt anybody.
I've seen you do it before.
We'll just handle it intelligently.
Yeah.
We won't let them just willy-nilly steal in every place they want to steal.
Mayor,
give them the
they're,
city.
They're playing the music. I'm sorry we have to go. And I agree with you. I'm hoping those judges, they should not. That should not be part of their calculus here. We both know that.
So.
I hope they know it. Good luck, Mr. Mayor. You're making progress. Keep us posted, okay?
And thanks, Greg. Always a pleasure.
All right. Take care.
Okay, so what the conversation is right there at the end is if this election is overthrown, then there will be violence in the streets. And we've already seen that. We know that there's going to be violence if we don't go along. Now, here's the interesting thing is it was reported yesterday that the Michigan, one of the Michigan counties refused to certify the election. And when they did a recount, there was activists who came after the couple of vote observers, they came after them and they basically threatened them to dox them, to expose where they live, to they threatened their kids. This didn't get into mainstream media. So here's the purpose, and this is the importance of a Newsmax or I can't even remember the name of the other main minor league, not really minor league, but conservative channel, is that these new news channels that are coming out are the only places to find information, and you know, online. So shows like, even shows like this can get out information that is really the only place to find the truth. So the media is constantly blocking and tackling for and it's not really, and I think most people understand this, it's not really about Biden. Biden is a means, and he's not much of a means either, if you know what I mean. As a means, he is a way to sit in the basement, wait through the plague, pretend that he can't go out because of the plague. And then, well, Trump goes on and he goes across the United States doing these various various meetings and campaign events, Joe's sitting there. So I don't think anybody who knows anything about the the way that all of this stuff happens, I don't think there's any way to suggest that they are doing this in a manner that is consistent with common sense. So there's so many different things that are going on, but one of the things that was reported by Sidney Powell, and I do have all of her clips loaded up. I don't know where they're at, of course, but sometimes I get lost in the machine. But she stated, and I thought it was one of the most amazing things that I had ever heard, that if you've got this company Dominion going across the world doing vote events, that it couldn't have happened in a vacuum, that the CIA had to be, it had to be done with knowledge of the CIA. In addition to that, you've got a lot of things going on, which are just totally weird and inexplicable, unless you see that the machines, which I put in my articles, the machines were made with the interest of throwing votes. And so they are created for the use in events like in Venezuela, which is a banana republic, tyranny, communist dictatorship. And then you export them to places like Canada and the United States, other dictatorships, Africa, all these places, and the ownership is somehow through George Soros. And the net result is that you've got a situation where a major league election was thrown. So let me ask you this. If you came to the conclusion, here's a couple different questions. If you came to the conclusion on your own that an election was thrown, what would you want to be done? Now, and here's what it hinges on. The question being this, that if it is hinging on the number of votes, let's say you found that there was fraud, there was a lot of fraud, do you overturn the election when you go through the numbers and find all of the fake votes to the point where Trump wins again? Or do you say there has been massive, massive voter irregularities and fraud, and therefore what you're going to do is make Trump the winner based on the idea that you do it because of the fact that it's a fraud enterprise. It's a RICO. You know, I mean, what they should really go after these guys with is RICO. And here, let me play for you something that about this worldwide phenomenon of voter fraud. And the only reason I'm laughing is because it's so absurd. Here's Sidney Powell.
South America, and then they brought it here. And it's a foreign company, no matter how you look at it. So they've already violated the president's order against foreign interference in our elections. Our votes were actually eventually counted in Barcelona, Spain, or Frankfurt, Germany, on foreign servers. It's absolutely stunning. And what's really stunning is the effort that is being mounted against getting the truth out on this. But you have to realize that every tech company, every media company, every social media company, scads of globalist corporations have been doing business in countries with these dictators that have been installed through this rigged election system for decades. The corruption is actually worldwide. It is going to upset a countless number of elections across this country and around the world.
All right.
But we need to do that to get rid of the corruption.
It does make a lot of sense now how Joe Biden campaigned, i.e. not campaigning.
All right, so there's a little bit. And let me play you another one of these clips because it's just so fascinating. And I've got a lot of them, but here is another one that has Sidney Powell on it.
Well, as Michigan's largest county certifies its election results, there is a bitter legal fight still underway over the results in Pennsylvania. I'm joined now by Mark Aronchik. He's the attorney for several of Pennsylvania's county election boards, and he went head-to-head with Rudy Giuliani, the Trump campaign's new lawyer in that case, in court yesterday. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
All right. We spoke yesterday. You told me that Rudy Giuliani was outrageous in his claims, but notably this, that many of his claims in court were not actually related, you said, to the actual complaint. So tell us how it played out yesterday, what argument he made, and how you responded.
Yeah, hey, Jim, this was one of the strangest court appearances I've ever had. We were there to deal with a complaint. And the complaint that the Trump campaign filed was that the Philadelphia and other county election administrators were doing some things that they didn't think were right in the administration of the mail-in voting. The complaint had nothing about fraud, nothing about gigantic conspiracies, but in walked Mr. Giuliani, and he talked only about fraud, gigantic conspiracies, the kinds of things that we heard at the driveway of the Total Landscaping press conference. But it bore no relationship to what we were actually sitting there doing in court. And so I listened for a while, and I realized that I had to do two things. One was to deal with rather outrageous statements that he was making throughout his presentation. And the other was then to focus the court on what we were really there for. Because when you look at the complaint and what was really involved in this case, it was a bunch of small ball complaints.
All right. So, you know, I think I can kind of get out there. What's going on is it was a complaint to put a complaint into the court system. The overall strategy is to prove that there was a massive fraud. Now, the left does not accept this other than it's a joke. The media has a blackout on it. In the meantime, a lot of information is coming out showing that weird and mathematically impossible things happened in places like Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, wherever you want to point a finger. Now, I'm actually have been invited to come into one of these lawsuits, and so I can keep you posted on that. Here is another clip, but understand they're trying to get it to the Supreme Court, and so they're trying to use these opportunities to outline their position, and then the position being that massive, massive fraud happened, and at this point, we can show small mistakes were made or errors, but it's an overall game plan of epic proportions. Now, here is another clip, and that last clip was doing with Giuliani in court, but this one's Powell.
Joining us now by phone, Sidney Powell, a member of President Trump's legal team. She is also General Michael Flynn's attorney, former federal prosecutor, best-selling author, one of the country's most prominent appellate attorneys. Sidney, good to have you with us. Dominion voting system seems to be figuring larger and larger in the interest of your legal team. And what is the latest?
Oh, definitely, Lou. I've just gotten some stunning evidence from a firsthand witness, a high-ranking military officer who was present when Smartmatic was designed in a way that the and I'm going to just read you some of these statements, if you don't mind, so I get them exactly
sure.
Right from the affidavit. Designed in a way that the system could change the vote of each voter without being detected. He wanted the software itself to function in such a manner that if the voter were to place their thumbprint or fingerprint on a scanner, then the thumbprint would be tied to a record of the voter's name and identity as having voted, but that voter would not be tracked to the changed vote. He made it clear that the system would have to be set up but not leave any evidence of the changed vote for a specific voter, and that there would be no evidence to show and nothing to contradict that the name or the fingerprint or thumbprint was going with a changed vote. Smartmatic agreed to create such a system and produce the software and hardware that accomplished the result for President Chavez. After the Smartmatic electoral management system was put in place, he closely observed several elections where the results were manipulated using the Smartmatic software. One such election was December 2006 when Chavez was running against Rosales. Chavez won with a landslide over Rosales, a margin of nearly 6 million votes for Chavez versus 3.7 million for Rosales. In 2013, he witnessed another Venezuelan national election where the Smartmatic management system was used to manipulate and change the results for Chavez. And it goes on and on. He was in the control room where multiple digital display screens were shown for results and voting. The actual voting results were fed into that room and onto the displays over an internet feed, which was connected to a sophisticated computer system created by Smartmatic. People in that room were able to see in real time whether the vote that came through the electronic voting system was in their favor or against them. If one looked at any particular screen, they could determine that the vote from any specific area or as a national total was going to be against either candidate. Persons controlling the vote tabulation computer had the ability to change the reporting of votes by moving votes from one candidate to another by using the Smartmatic software.
And Smartmatic, the relation...
Smartmatic.
Smartmatic, the chairman is Admiral Pete Neffinger, who is also on the vice president's transition team, his presidential, presumptuous presidential transition team. That's an extraordinary situation as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So here's the other kicker. When the Smartmatic machines are, when somebody's losing, like, for example, when Maduro and his supporters realized the size of the other guy's lead, they were worried that they were in crisis mode and would lose the election. The Smartmatic's machines used for voting in each state were connected to the internet, reported their information over the internet to the Caracas Control Center real time, so the decision was made to reset the entire system. Maduro's and his supporters ordered the network controllers to take the internet itself offline in practically all parts in Venezuela to change the results. It took the voting operators approximately 2 hours to make the adjustments in the vote from Radomski to Maduro. Then when they turned the internet back on and the online reporting was up and running again, they checked each screen state by state to be certain they could see each vote was changed in favor of Maduro.
Sydney, you tweeted earlier today about CIA and its association. What have you discovered there?
Well, other than the fact there's no way all this was happening over around and around the world without the CIA knowing about it. I mean, that's just logic. This affidavit also explains it's been used to change election results all over the world. And it's all Venezuelan and Cuban and essentially communist money that's been doing this. It's a foreign-owned company, as you mentioned earlier. The president of it is Mr. Neffinger, who is on Biden's very presumptuous and immediately failing transition team. And people have been reporting this to our government for several years, including Democrats, and nobody's done a damn thing about it, Lou. I can't even express how furious I am over this.
Well, I share your fury and frustration, but I do have some news to break here at this moment. I have received word from a highly reliable source that the FBI does have an investigative team that is now looking into this election. Now, what that means beyond that, but at least it's confirmation that they are investigating, and we'll see what moves, because there had been no indication that indeed publicly that they were involved. They are now. And to that point, I'd just like to show, if we could put up the full screen, under what their authorities are when we talk about these state-run elections, even though they're federal elections for at least a sizable number of the candidates. As you see there, the ballot includes one or more federal candidates, an election, a polling place, official abuses of their office.
All right, so he's talking about what's in the lawsuits, but this guy, Peter Neffinger, is a Biden transition team member. He is also the head of the board of Smartmatic, I think. I've got to do a little bit more research on this, but I mean, the fact of the matter is that it's extraordinary that the guy would be on this team and also involved with the voting software maker, especially. I mean, this is just, this is what I'm telling you. All right, there a couple of thoughts here. What's going on is absolutely extraordinary. It is so explosive that the mainstream media can't cover it. Now, we know that there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that are going on and have gone on that the mainstream media does not touch because they want to keep it away from people. So as part of the mainstream media, this guy that looks like this troll who is the head of Twitter is blocking stories about the son of Joe Biden. All of this stuff, and if you must know, you must notice that the way things are playing out, it can't be a coincidence. It can't be a coincidence, for example, that all of these things happen at the same time. All of the states shut down. And then they reconfigure, and then they open up again, and suddenly Biden's winning. And, you know, here's an interesting thing. Peter Neffinger, United States Coast Guard Admiral, Transportation Administrator of Transportation Secretary from July 2015 to January 2017, he worked for Trump. And, has an MPA, Master of Public Administration, I'm assuming, from Harvard. And, you know, the Ivy League is the filthiest, most depraved place to get your education. And unfortunately, And now Harvard is trying to block people from the Trump administration from being employed. And so he is a chairman of the board of directors of Smartmatic, and it's being used in the election, and he's involved in with Biden. You know, there's just so many things that are going on that are insane. But the thing that I want to say is for anybody who would listen, and by the way, the number to call in, 516-517-1963. The problem with all the stuff that's going on is this crazy lust for power. And you know, once these people get the power, then they wipe out the history. If you have a communist undertaking, socialist undertaking, there is no such thing as history. History is recreated. And this has been proved many times in the history of the world. So what we need to do is we need to get ourselves organized, and we have to figure out how to help Trump, because Trump's the only person who's going to fight for us. Everything else is going to be compromised one type for another. Now, what you really find, which is so fascinating, is the number of people who are doing this stuff, and they are coming out as your friend. I mean, the level of deception in the United States now is so, it's surreal. And people have come to the conclusion that the rule of law is no longer as popular as it was, and you can't ruin your reputation anymore. And so you can't ruin your reputation. And what happens instead is there is a replacement for everything that's good, and you have all kinds of communist, socialist doctrines, liberal doctrines. Here is another clip right here.
Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, welcome back to Newsmax, the president's personal attorney, and he's heading up the legal efforts in this challenge. Mayor Giuliani, welcome back. How are you?
Greg, how are you?
I'm terrific. I am rooting for you guys, as you know. How's it going overall? Give us the picture.
I'm going to cut that because we may have already played it. I mislabeled some of my clips here, and so trying to see if there's one more. You know, I think you guys got them, all of them. And here's what's to understand. There is there's this. You know what the media does is it makes a laughing stock. It tries to make people into laughing stocks, or it puts some sort of a title on people. And, you know, so Rudy is now this crazy nut that goes around and talks about stuff and doesn't know what he's talking about and is always making stuff up and lying and everything. And if you go back and you remember how upbeat he was and how positive he was that Trump was going to beat Russia, and all of the news players were saying how dire it was for Trump and how he was going to be, you know, he was going to be removed in handcuffs. And it turned out there was not one thing true in the Russia. In the impeachment, the same thing. Rudy constantly filled in information, and the information was it was accurate, and it was upbeat, it was smart, and he's got a kind of an irrepressible personality. Now, the media has created this history of Rudy, which is just nonsensical. He's a nut. He didn't know what he's talking about. He went into court and made a fool of himself, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, one of the things that you've got to notice about leftism, liberalism, is it's detached from reality. So they might talk about something. There might be some true facts in there. Their overall premise is not just mistaken, but it's insane. You can't run any part of the world with socialism and be effective. But that's what we're on the mad quest for. It's a ship of fools. It is, socialism is the greatest example of the human instinct for self-destruction I've ever seen. And it is, it's mind-blowing. You've got a guy in with Trump who was able to, and I'm looking at a couple of other clips here that I want to put on, but I don't have time right now. But the greatest, you know, he understands the administrative state because he goes after the administration to shrink it. He understands the how to make money, how to shrink the bureaucracy, how to knock down red tape. And he helped grow the economy. He helped open up the petroleum industry in such a way that we became the number one producer of petroleum. And all I hear from people is Trump got his economy from Obama. Now, did anybody ever say in the history of the world that Obama was an economic genius? Didn't have a background in that. Didn't have a background in the private sector. He went to school, came out, got a job. One job he ever had was for Acorn, the only case that he ever signed up for. Acorn is now shuttered, but it was a, once again, it was a fraudulent undertaking. And so, but you have to state that Obama was the greatest economic genius in history because he started this revival. And as you recall, he was never over 3%. We never had really robust growth under him. But he was, you know, I don't know. I find it so hard to take these guys seriously. But if somebody takes credit for something that you did, you know that there's one thing that's true, and the thing that is true is that you are, this person is basically admitting that you were successful because they're trying to steal what you created. And so think about that. You can look at the idea that Obama was trying to take credit for this thing because he's so audacious, he's so successful, he's such a genius. But when you look at it, Obama never really got credit for having a robust economy because the economy was never robust under the guy. So when Trump comes in and he does so well that Obama has to come in and take credit. That is an admission of failure. You've got to kind of reset this thing and look at it from another angle. The guy's trying to take credit for somebody else's success because he didn't do a good enough job to take credit for the economy when he was in office. So, you know, that's just kind of a roundabout way of examining it, which shows that Obama has been very nervous and embarrassed by the fact that Trump was able to come in and do so well after Obama was treated like a messiah by all the people on the left. What is the one thing that Obama gets credit for? It is for Obamacare. Now, did Obamacare help or harm the state of medicine in America? And I mean, I think the argument is he harmed it because this was a very ill-conceived thing. And you remember that Pelosi comes in and says, we'll walk through the gate to do for Obamacare. We'll walk through the gate. And if the gate is closed, we'll scale the wall. And if we can't scale the wall, we'll parachute in. And it was an example of an extraordinarily ill-conceived bit of legislation, and it shows you how crazy these people are when they go in and they pass legislation, and to find out what's in it, you have to pass it first. I mean, that should be illegal. I mean, that should have caused her to be removed from office. It's not a proposition that's really American. So what are we looking at here? And I've only talked about one issue today, and that is the vote, because it's so important. And you've got to understand and realize that there is no bigger issue right now, because if Trump can get his argument, if he can get his position on these illegal vote machines established, and what they need is they need one of these Smartmatic vote machines so that they can examine it and they can show what it's made out of. And I'm sure they're doing that right now. I mean, obviously, they need to go in and get this stuff. I'm assuming, not knowing any better, and I have a friend of mine that might come on the show tomorrow, that for the Smartmatic, what happens is you've got it and you're using it, and all of a sudden you need it to switch votes, and so you shut it down, and then you start it up again, or you just shut the doors, but you put in a thumb drive being, of course, a little memory stick, and when that is opened up in there, it provides the algorithm that switches the votes, whatever percent you need. And this is probably the main takeaway from this, is that the way that it's done is it is assembled through electronics. It's not paper. So it's very hard to fight against. There's also issues of these machines being online, which makes them open to direct hacking. And then there is direct online hacking. And then there's the fact that the vote machines are able to be accessed. And somebody said there was a 15-year-old could hack into these machines. And I saw a video of a guy that took one of them. He bought it on eBay, I think. He brought it in, opened it up immediately. I'm saying immediately, opens this thing up and sees this component in there and pulls it out and says, this is all I need to get into the other machines. So, you know, it is, it's audacious. It's so big. It's a lie that's so big that people can't take it seriously because it swallows up the whole world. There's this whole world of falsified votes across the globe from Smartmatic out of Venezuela. But it is also a battle of ideologies. And so since the left owns the media, it never needs to be discussed. It never needs to be discussed because it is outside of what they're interested in. And so as you're seeing it, I'd like to compare this to churches. Churches were developed, especially in, you know, in the history of the West, there's always been churches, but since the Reformation, there have been churches that have arisen, have grown up, have become very, very powerful. And then as time goes by, they get smaller and they collapse. And one of them was the denomination was Presbyterianism, old line Presbyterianism, and they were losing 200,000 members a year. And the statement was, I mean, I think it a few years ago, it had 2 million members. And the statement was, if you wait 10 years, this won't exist anymore. So what happened? And what happens with the older churches is they become liberal. Now, this happens to every human undertaking, is it is established and becomes liberal. Why is that? Because you've got this conflict between, in this case, the Word of God versus human nature and the desire for humanism. And so as the Presbyterians brought in things like gay, female and gay preachers, gay marriage, support for other types of leftism, the true believers leave. As time goes by, the energy and the sense of mission is taken away, and it becomes a human mission. And so this happens in politics too. And so what happens is that, and it happens in media, it happens in every undertaking. And then you've got, I think it's O'Neill's Law, but I'll look that up for you for tomorrow. O'Neill's Law says that every institution that is not formally created on far-right conservative principles will become liberal. And so you've got all of these churches out there, the Methodists and the Presbyterians and many others, that have become liberalized. And to become liberalized just means you're taking in the ideas of the day. You're updating it, and by updating it, you're killing it, because you're cutting it off from the root of where it came from. But the same thing happening in the media, the same thing happening in universities. So Harvard was created, the first American university, and still the most powerful, you might argue the most powerful university in the world, to train, the purpose of it, it was a college to train ministers. And as time has gone by, it became more liberal. And so that's why Yale was started. Now, Harvard is congregational church, that was the first undertaking. But I'm going to bring you out here with a little bit of music. Thanks for listening in, Kelly O'Connell Show, and hope you have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow. Ciao. Kelly O'Connell.
I've been drifting on the sea of heartbreak, trying to get myself ashore for so long. For so long.